Welcome to the Breathe Podcast, where we explore the intersection of faith and creativity. We interview artists from all walks of life to discover how faith plays a role in their art and expression, hoping to encourage you to live a life of creativity and faith. And now, please welcome your co-hosts, Derek Engoy, Christian Mendoza, and Kevin Horton.
Yep. Welcome back to yet another episode of the Breathe Faith and Creativity Podcast. I'm Derek Engoy from Torrance, California. Chiming in from Cerritos, California, we got Christian Mendoza.
Yo.
And from Long Beach, California, we got Kevin Horton. Kevin, what up?
I am the most fly April Fool there ever is.
Cash Money Kevin.
Dude, I just love how we've been carrying this whole fly mantra with you, Kev. Man, we got to find something for you, Chris. Mine has been yup, yup. And Kevin, yours has been I'm fly. And Chris, we got to figure something out for you. We need a little catchphrase for you somehow. I don't know, man. What do you think? What do you think?
Oh, man. I'm definitely down for it. I say yo a lot.
Yo. Sure. Well, that for now.
How about yo?
Hey, the yo-yo was created in the Philippines.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So that might be a thing, yo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, there it is. He just said yo.
I love the. Yo. I remember the Dunkin' Yo-Yos, the Dunkin' Yo-Yo commercials from the 70s. Oh, yeah. I always wanted to learn how to walk the dog. That was the thing that I could never do.
Dude, Chris, you and I have a mutual friend in Genesis who knows a thing or two about tricks with the yo-yo.
I know. That dude's like Bruce Lee, man. He'll knock you out with that thing.
I know. You got to be careful when he's around, man. He can walk the dog. He could do the whole cradle. He could, I don't know, man.
Around
the world, everything. That dude rocks it. So, hey, so April Fool's just passed. April 1st just passed a couple of days ago, maybe 4 days ago or so. Let's dive into this icebreaker question. Let's talk about practical jokes. What has been the best practical joke that either you played on someone or that someone has played on you? Let's start with you, Kevin.
Well, someone has played this on me. Many of you don't know, but we'll know now. I'm an Eagle Scout. So my troop.
Oh, I remember that. You told me. Yeah.
So my troop for years, when you started going up to summer camp, Camp Tockwitz up at Barton Flats, they would always take the inductees or the newbies on a nighttime shrew hunt. And I didn't even know that shrews actually are very, very calm animals, but they didn't tell me that. They told me that shrews are mean and they come after you at night. And so it was like an initiation hike that you would get the you-know-what scared out of you on this hike because, and then they wouldn't tell you till almost at the end that the shrew was a complete joke.
A very docile animal.
I went through so many underwear
that's a little bit too much information there, Kevin.
it was. That's for the Patreon.
That's awesome. How about you, Chris? Practical jokes. You played on someone or someone played on you?
Actually, it's not a practical joke, but remember our show back in the day? You're talking about Genesis, right? From
yeah.
The band.
Uh-huh.
Remember our La Mirada performing arts show when we played with a bunch of boy bands?
Oh, that's right.
Everybody was all beady cheesy boys, right? Like dyeing their hair, tucking in their shirts, ironing their suits, right? Then here's us, right? And remember when we played last? And yeah, man, remember when the curtain fell on us? And like, we all looked at each other.
That's right.
We all looked at each other. We're like, oh, no way. We practiced. We're going to play this song. And like a minute before they turned the power off, like we just all looked at each other. We're like, oh, let's go. And then the curtain's dropping on you. It's like old school, like super heavy velour, like curtain. And we just like looked at each other. And yeah, that's like that Jules and Jason Bourne thing. You know, we're like, oh, no way. We're not going out. We're going to go. It was pretty sweet, though.
I remember one time. I don't know how old Ezra was. I don't think Jude was around yet. Uh-huh. So it was just Ezra and Cyrus. Cyrus probably was like one. So Ezra was really, really young. So Marissa had this funny idea to pour a bowl of cereal one night, the night before April Fool's, and freeze it overnight with the milk. And
oh, so, that's messed up.
I can only imagine what happened.
So we served the cereal. You know, we put the three bowls out, one for him and two for us, and we started eating, and he stuck his spoon into it, and it was rock solid frozen, and this dude started crying. And we just like, oh my gosh, what do we do? We felt so bad. But, you know, we look back at that and we laugh. Ezra remembers that too, and he remembers crying, but we get a good laugh out of it too. But man, I don't think I've ever played a practical joke like that and made someone cry before. And it was hilarious to me, but of course, I'm sure, you know, for him in that moment, he was very, he was very traumatized.
Yeah.
All I can think about now is frozen frosted flakes.
Yeah. But no, the dude loves cereal now. So I thought that would have been like a traumatic experience. Yeah, but he loves cereal. So,
but you know what? He'll always associate it with you and Marissa. And so I'm sure it's going to be something he's going to remember forever.
Yeah.
You know,
before we get into the rest of our show today, don't forget to check out our Instagram page and give us a follow. Please, please. We love connecting through Instagram. So let's connect. We usually post news, episode updates, and podcast tips for any up and coming podcast hosts looking to make an impact. Our Instagram handle is @BreathePodcast, and help us out by spreading the word.
And also, I'd also like to take the time out to remind everybody to rate and review our show on the Apple Podcast. Give us a 5-star rating and let us know how we're doing. Show us some love. And make sure you hit the subscribe button to get notifications every time we release a new episode.
And thank you to all of our Patreon subscribers. We thank you so much for your continued support. If you are not on our Patreon support page, we encourage you to head over to patreon.com/Derek Engoy. And you can see the 4 tiers that we have. $1 a month, which is easy. Anyone can do that. $3 a month, $10 and $20 a month in each tier. You get a specific reward for those tiers. One thing that we have been doing as of late is we've been uploading the interviews uncut in its entirety. I believe we have 2 right now on the Patreon page. So if you want to hear these interviews, the hour-long interviews that they ultimately are, right, we cut them down to about 30 minutes. But if you want to hear these amazing interviews in its entirety, you can also go to the Patreon page and access those. So head on over. Once again, that's patreon.com/Derek Engoy. And you can select a tier that works for your budget. And we are truly grateful for all the love and the support. Yeah. So this past week, I had the wonderful privilege of chatting with Helen Garcia. She goes by Helen Grace. The Helen Grace is her Instagram handle.
I love that.
Yeah. She's a fellow podcaster. She's the host of Who You Needed podcast. And she's also getting her master's in mental health, which, of course, mental health has been a huge theme for our show this past season, which the three of us have talked in length and in depth about. And so I wanted to take this opportunity, and I'm hoping that we can go a little bit deeper than we already have over the past season. But we've talked a lot about how we've been able to cope with our lows in mental health. But I wanted to dive a little bit deeper than just the low, right? And chat about the lowest of lows, perhaps. And as hard as it might be for the three of us to unpack and unearth, I was wondering if you both would be willing to dive that deep and get into the miry dirt of what we've been struggling with. And I know this might be heavy, but I think it's needed as far as an exploration. So can you, and we can start with you, Chris, can you describe one of your lowest of lows and how you processed it? And then of course, how you ultimately were able to pull yourself out of it.
Yeah. I mean, this is like a big puzzle piece, but it was going through the whole process of going through the Department of Mental Health.
Hmm.
It's being in that waiting room, you know, and I mean, when you enter that room, I mean, there's an armed sheriff, you know, the decor is just super drab. I mean, I'm talking cinder block walls inside, glass, you know, glass with the chicken wire, you know, they're expecting stuff to go haywire, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm looking around, I do a quick scan of who's in the waiting room, right? And yeah, these are people that look like they've got criminal records. Like they're about to go to prison for some reason or another, whether it be, you know, mental issues or they can't deal with their anger. And so I'm just like, whoa, what's going on here? Is this what I've been reduced to? You know, they're saying, hey, put all your medications in a bag. And well, these people have like shopping bags, like the white plastic shopping bags filled with like 20 meds. And all you see inside is a bunch of amber bottles. And it's just like, geez, these guys have to take this much medication. This is the whole experience leading to me going to the Philippines.
Right.
It's realizing how serious the problem was.
Hmm.
So yeah, then I go to the Department of Health. Then I get, you know, interviewed by a social worker or a therapist. And yeah, they're just going through the whole questions. And every eighth question, they kept saying, do you hear voices? Do you hear voices? Are you suicidal? And it's like, no, I don't hear any of that. I'm just really bummed out and I don't care. Yeah, from there, I went to go ahead and have therapy. I was taking antidepressants, and that whole situation was just rotten. It didn't really work with me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And then when I went to the Philippines in that Lockett facility, when I started getting psychotherapy, I mean, I didn't have anything else. You know, I was like, I don't know if people know this, but my entire day was controlled when I would go there.
Hmm.
Like, I can't take a nap. I can't take a rest. I can't even have sugar or caffeine.
Wow.
And yeah, it's that controlled. And so, yeah, just to be able, you know, being in there, and I just said, hey, what do I have to lose, man? You know, it's like I had the psychotherapy with the psychotherapist, and she was talking about the faith of the mustard seed. And I'm just like, dude, what do I got to lose? Let's go for it.
Yeah.
And from then on out, I just started losing myself in the process. Days started getting a little shorter.
You know, what's crazy is you said the whole faith of the mustard seed that your therapist was talking to you about. Shout outs to Shannon James. Shannon James, which goes into my little testimony, which I'll share in a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, she ran Beacon for him, which was the ministry, mm-hmm. the homeless ministry center that we ended up moving to with our church plant. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, she was trying to figure out when I ended up finally stepping down from the branch, she wanted to figure out what kind of gift she can give me as like a thank you for doing ministry mm-hmm. in Long Beach. And she gave me this tiny little bottle. I mean, you're talking mm-hmm. about a thumbnail size. And in it, like if you're not intent on looking into the glass, you think nothing's in there, but in it is a small mustard seed. And yeah. And she's like, you know, this is the best gift that I could think of in that I really admire your faith. And a lot of times that, you know, as challenging as it was serving in downtown Long Beach, you know, your faith was so, it seemed like you had big faith, and she was just like, I remember those moments where you felt like your faith was so small. And she felt like she just wanted to give it as a reminder that even when your faith is so small, God can still do through big things through us. So I just wanted to chime in real quick there, Chris, because when you said
no problem.
Faith is a mustard seed, I remember. And I have that on the dashboard of my car. So wherever I go, I'm always reminded of that. Yeah. But thank you for diving deep. You know, it's
no problem.
Yeah. And so thank you for that. Kevin, how about you?
Well, mine is two-tier. It started basically with the beginning of quarantine last year in March, because everything that I ever loved to do was stripped away from me.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, as of the 14th, you know, potential no job, couldn't go to theme parks, couldn't hang out with friends. So everything that I used to either medicate myself or get through things, couldn't even go to church. All of a sudden, I was inside the four walls of the house, and everybody was telling me, enjoy these 2 weeks, you know, your job is paying for you. And I thought, well, that's great. But my mind kept thinking, what's going to happen beyond the 2 weeks? And all of a sudden the walls started coming in and I was re-experiencing grief.
Yeah.
Wow. Many of you know or don't know, but I lost both my parents within 2 years, both to natural causes.
Yeah.
And so, I was just getting over, not over, actually with grief, I'll tell you, you don't get over it.
Right.
You get through it. And it's an ongoing process. So I had two things happen. I had quarantine happen, and then something else happened in my personal life in August or September, where I all of a sudden lost a lot of friends.
Hmm.
And it was just like it was a friend implosion, where every people that I thought were close to me just left.
Wow.
So it was like a double-edged dagger again. What am I going to do? Because I was just getting my sea legs again, where I was feeling okay. Then all of a sudden that second thing happened, and it felt like the door to a coffin, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It was like, you're going to get out, and all of a sudden, what are you going to do? the solution was the same. In the middle of the quarantine, I reached out to an amazing Christian counselor. Didn't tell my family, but they know now. Didn't tell my family that I was doing that, because in my family, a lot of times, if you were going to counseling, they looked down upon it. Not now. They've changed their outlook.
Yeah.
But for a while there, I had to learn that do things for me. Mm-hmm. And doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. If it benefits me, if it does good for me, that's where I had to learn in quarantine. I have to do what's good for me.
Yeah.
So I reached out to the counselor and started working through some things there. And so that has been a blessing. But then also the second thing happened where all the friends left me. I felt like I got knocked down again. You ever try, you know, you're trying to go up these flight of stairs and then you almost make it. All of a sudden you get knocked down. It's like you're down even worse than you were before.
Yeah.
Feeling that way. But I can tell you, and now that when people talk to me about my problems now, and I say, well, if God could get me through what he got me through this past year, whatever temporary problem I have now, he can take care of it. So it has completely changed my perspective.
That's right. That's good. Yeah. Thank you both for sharing. Mine was...
Hey, no problem. What about you?
Mine was, of course, in the midst of ministry. We had just planted the church in Long Beach. Life, quite honestly, was amazing, right? We were fresh as a church and brand new to the Long Beach church scene. And we were all excited, right? We, for the lack of words, we left the big church experience, and a lot of us on the team were truly looking forward to getting down and dirty with what we all believe to be the leading of God. And that was to keep things small while serving big in the community. That was intriguing for all of us. And,
yes.
You know, 6 months into the church plant, I began feeling depressed. We had just launched our Sunday services, and we were doing the Sunday to Sunday church thing. And quite honestly, I didn't want any part of that particular experience of the church planting world. And I wanted to be in the community serving people. And sure, in hindsight, I could have took it upon myself to do that. But I had this big vision that our entire church would be alongside of me serving. And don't get me wrong, we did serve here and there, and we had a good handful of people serving alongside of us. But it was just not what I had imagined. And we just got into the Sunday rhythm, and I was arguing with God, like, man, this is not what I signed up for. And I didn't want anything to do with it. But because I was the lead pastor and we had just planted the church, I didn't feel like I could do anything about it. And I entered a very dark, depressive state, and I didn't find joy preparing sermons anymore. I eventually didn't even love the Christian thing anymore. I still love Jesus, don't get me wrong. I couldn't stand Christianity anymore. And I had contemplated suicide. That was like 2014. Mm-hmm. And my anxiety level was through the roof. And I even did my office hours, which was crazy. I did my office hours at local coffee shops in Long Beach to look like I was busy, right? And to look like I was okay on the surface because I was in public. But I was a mess internally. And I would even carry around this pretty significant sized pocket knife. I mean, I'm not talking about like this little like Swiss Army knife, but it was a pretty big knife.
Yeah, I remember. You showed it to me. It was like the Rambo.
Yeah.
It was like 6 inches.
When you opened it up, it was pretty big. And, you know, just in case, I was ready to take my life on any given moment. And that's how bad it got for me. And I didn't tell anybody. Yeah. I didn't even tell Marissa. And maybe this is where the shame culture that you talked about, Chris, earlier, and of course that Helen talks about in a little bit, but being Asian American, I didn't tell anybody because I felt ashamed. These were new emotions, new feelings for me, and I didn't know what to do with them. So what did I do? I bottled it up, and I tried to live life on my own. Of course, a year then into the church plant, we moved to downtown Long Beach, and I mentioned Shannon James, who gave me the mustard seed gift. We moved into the space that she was operating out of, and things changed dramatically for us for the better, right? We were serving our houseless friends in the community, not just on Sundays, but because I was there pretty much Monday through Friday. You know, I built friendships with my friends on the streets, and I found a rhythm, and it was a beautiful thing, leading Bible studies specifically for those, you know, in the houseless community. And we did it, you know, we did that for a few years before we eventually moved to the east side. But I'd say that was my most darkest moment in my life, my lowest of lows. You know, it eventually came back a couple of years later, before we moved locations to the east side. And I would say it got pretty dark, but that time, the second time, I had already told Marissa, and my coping mechanisms were a lot healthier because I began talking about it. I invited specifically four.
That's important.
Yeah. I invited four people into my life that I would create these online journals that, you know, they had access to and eyes on to check in. And if I wrote anything that seemed pretty dark or seemed pretty wacky, they would call me and check in on me to just make sure I'm okay. And I began preaching about my issues from the pulpit. And
that's really cool.
And I related my depression and my anxiety to different biblical examples in the scriptures. And I'd say a lot of people, they also found healing because I was so open. They, in turn, were like, oh, pastor's going through some stuff. You know what? Let me talk to him about what I'm going through. And it created this context where people were just opening up left and right.
Yeah.
It was a challenging season for me, but praise God, you know, I got through it. And it was, again, like I said, it was hard. It was emotional. But man, I'm so glad that I was able to get through it. But that was mine. Yeah. Yeah. And part of me wanting the three of us to do a deep dive is, you know, we've been open. I'm not saying we haven't been open. We've been open this whole season about our struggles. But I think the more we can talk about even the darkest of the darkest, the lowest of lows, the more healing that we can experience. And a lot of the guests who've come on the show this past season, who've dealt with some form of mental health issues that they've experienced, would echo the same. The more that they talked about it, whether it be through the therapist, a doctor, or even just a community of people, they found healing. And so, yeah, thank you guys for sharing. That being said, sit back, relax, enjoy this wonderful, amazing discussion and conversation that we get into with the host of Who You Needed podcast, Helen Garcia. All right, today on the Breathe Faith and Creativity podcast, we have a fellow podcaster on the show. Helen Garcia is the host, or should I say hostess, of the Who You Needed podcast. Our podcast seeks to bring vulnerability and humanity to life. I actually had the privilege of appearing on her podcast a few weeks ago, and we talked a lot about vulnerability, humanity, and healing, which for you as a listener, you know that we are about the same things here at the Breathe podcast. So we are definitely in familiar waters with Helen today. And from the description on her website, which I absolutely love, it says her podcast also seeks to encourage creatives and mental health enthusiasts to be who they needed. Helen, thank you so much for taking time today to hop on the podcast. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing so good, Derek. It's really good to be here. I'm always grateful to be in your presence. So I'm ready. I'm good.
So really quickly, icebreaker before we dive in to the meat of our discussion. So April Fool's was a couple days ago. What is the best practical joke you've ever played on someone, or the other way around? What's the best practical joke that someone has played on you?
Someone once told me that I was like the first Filipino that they've ever met.
Wow.
and they were asking me to like just tell me about Filipino culture. And it was like a stranger that I met at a coffee shop. And then all of a sudden, he introduces me to his wife, and his wife is Filipino. And she was like, he pulled that joke on you, didn't he? And it was like an hour-long explanation of what is pancit canton, what is lumpia, what is rice. He like really played dumb with me. It was almost like I was the first Asian he'd ever met. And then his wife walks in, he's like, what are you doing to this poor girl? And I was like, oh, man, I fell for it.
That's pretty funny. To that end, quick bio moment. I know I gave a quick lowdown of who you are, what you do, but for those listening who are interested in wanting to know a little bit more about you, this is your bio moment. It's where you get to talk up yourself. Who is Helen and what makes you you?
I love that question. I grew up in Los Angeles, but I immigrated here when I was about five. Mm-hmm. Because of the trauma that I experienced as a child, I struggled heavily with self-harm when I didn't feel like I was heard, got diagnosed with anxiety and depression at 18. But that part, the trauma part, was always hidden behind achievement. Hmm. So we live in a culture right now where it's heavily predicated upon to show the best part of yourself, to be the best in everything that you do. And I've realized that if you're not willing to show your genuine self and everything, you end up burning out and you end up like dealing with these thoughts by yourself. So I really created the podcast as a way to show people that like it's okay to be a little human mm-hmm. and to breathe a little bit. And it's, I love the title of your podcast, by the way, it's called Breathe.
Yeah.
Cause I think that everything begins with the breath. Like you bring breath to life when you decide to walk in your authentic self. I think in pursuing a career in mental health, I'm getting my master's degree, graduating this semester with a social work degree.
Congrats, by the way.
Thank you. It's unbelievable how fast time flies. Like it's crazy. I sent in my application. I was still working at the coffee shop I was working at for 4 years, drenched in coffee stain when I went into my interview. Didn't even know that my interview was that day. Got in, like people were just impressed by the way I spoke, but it came with prayer and it came with really trusting God with like, if this is for me, then you'll make it for me. And the podcast was like, it was birthed out of a desire to show people that you didn't have to have this like big list of accomplishments, that you could just show up as you and people will just be drawn by that. Like I really want to create a warm fire for people whenever I walk into a room or whenever I want to make a difference in the world. And I think everyone has that desire. And that's a little bit about me. I'm also the oldest child. My grandma is my best friend. I love my family. Like those things really ground me. Yeah. So that's who I am. Yeah.
So you said 4 years in coffee. I never knew that about you. So talk to me a little bit about coffee. What kind? Are we talking Starbucks? Are we talking corporate? Are we talking specialty coffee? What are we talking?
No, I worked at my church coffee shop for about 4 years.
Oh, okay.
If funny enough, I started working there when I was 19. I walked in and I said, I'm willing to work here for free. I just really love coffee. I got addicted to coffee about a year before that. At 18 years old, I started drinking coffee. Just because of finals in college. But I was fascinated by how coffee can just bring people together in a meal where you could sit down with somebody and you just sip coffee and they just share your life story. And yeah. they like, it's almost like a breaking the ice moment when you have food or a drink in front of you. It's like breaking bread, but with coffee. Yeah. And so I worked there for free for 3 months in the summer while also balancing a full-time job at Soup Plantation during the summer, the semester before my sophomore year. And then every single weekend, I would drive back just so I could work there. I met people from all walks of life in that coffee shop. And it really made me reevaluate the quality of my life of, I want to talk to people every single day. Like I want to counsel people every single day because that's also what I did in the coffee business. And then I ended up getting promoted to like second in command, ended up selling books there. It was like the best experience. Just being able to commune with people through that narrative. So that was like my heart behind all of it.
So you mentioned the word connecting over coffee, which similarly, that's what podcasting is about. I know you mentioned why you got into podcasting, but when did you start? And maybe you can dive a little bit deeper into the nuts and bolts of just how podcasting has connected you with other people and maybe what podcasting, and maybe you're just, I know I'm throwing a bunch of questions in here, but, and I guess, maybe you can unpack further your story specifically on how you got into it, why, and how long you've been doing it.
My last year of college, this was 3 years before. I'd been thinking of a podcast for 3 years and I never started it until COVID. It was almost like a brave moment. I would drive 2 hours to Orange County every single day for college because I was saving up money for grad school. And I ultimately knew like, this is what I want to do. And I started listening to a podcast, the School of Greatness podcast by Lewis Howes. And in that podcast, he was very vulnerable about how he was molested at 5 years old, how he used athleticism as a way to blanket himself from all the things that he was unwilling to unpack. And I thought about it and I said, if he could do that, so can I. But I didn't really start unpacking my narrative until I went to therapy. And I think podcasting has been a way for me to really understand myself. When you edit audio, when you like really listen to yourself, you realize the narratives that you tell yourself, you realize the self-limiting beliefs that you have for yourself. So I started the podcast out of a need for a human connection during COVID-19. And it's blossomed into what you call bite-sized episodes. And I've used that as my tagline now because I'm inspired by that. And it's developed like this understanding that there are people out there that are hurting that really want someone that they can talk to. And I feel like I've become someone's like friend through the podcast, because people, like, I get messages every day from women that say, I feel like you know me. I feel like you understand me, because my ultimate like reach are women in their early 20s who feel lost and depressed and just need someone to talk to. And especially with all the isolation going on in Los Angeles, like, we just started opening back up. We need that a little bit. Yeah. We need someone who can be a warm blanket for us. And I love being that for people, as weird as that is. Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about the importance of the woman voice. So we're still in a male dominant society, unfortunately. Even in the podcasting world, there's more male driven podcasts than women, even in the church. I mean, it's still a debate of whether women can be pastors or not, even till this day. So talk to us a little bit about the importance of the woman's voice in today's society.
Oftentimes when I'm a part of spaces of leadership, I'm often the only woman. Mm-hmm. And Oprah has said this. Someone has asked her a similar question of, you're often the only Black woman of color in these spaces when it comes to radio talk shows. And she looked at this person, she said, I love it. I love it because I realize that the content of who I am on the outside has no evidence of who I am on the inside. And she said, the awareness is there. The presence of being a fish in water is there. But you have to understand that there are things in your life that you have more to offer than the content of your gender or what you may look like. And so I've realized that, like, when it comes to this stuff, it's very important to discuss, but let's make it a heart conversation of what's in your heart. Like, what do you have to offer the table? And I've made it my mission to walk into a room. And even though I am the only woman in most spaces, I make it a point to build connection, because ultimately change starts with that. Yeah. It starts with having a desire to understand what that person might be going through and what that person's story might be that they don't include women. And being one of the first women that they might interact with. And I've gotten this before where someone will interrupt me or try to tell me the story of my life when they don't even know who I am.
Yeah.
And I've realized that coming from a place of anger doesn't really do anything. It doesn't really heal the space. But seeking to understand, that's always been my change. I built connections with people in the podcasting space because I've sought to understand, because I seek to go about it from a place of love. And it's true that there are stigmas that are present in our world right now where women aren't allowed in certain spaces. And just like being a part of the conversation, does that make any sense?
It does, which kind of springboards to my next question. So for the listeners who aren't aware, there is this thing called PodFest, right? Major organization has some kind of festival or conference, and the podcasting world has it too. In fact, there's a good number of handfuls of different conferences and podcasts. And you were actually at PodFest, not as an attender, but you actually led a little talk. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was a talk on women and people of color in the podcasting space. Talk to us a little bit about that experience.
Yeah. So in general, media news only incorporates 19% of female women of color voices. And a smaller, very small number of that are women of color. And since March was Women's International like Appreciation Day. And since then, the podcast industry has like skyrocketed in top charts of women in podcasts. But before then, the top charts continue to be white men who are leading these podcasts. And oftentimes, like, white supremacy is embedded in the podcasting industry because they're a tailgate of MTV and media news coverage. And so my PodFest talk was mainly about how, like, in order to represent, you need to actually do it. You need to step out and you need to start doing something about it. Because oftentimes recognition of a social problem doesn't really change the social problem in itself.
Right.
Stepping out and actually being the change that you wish to see in the world. And so I applied to be on PodFest because I think that it was a conversation that has been silenced for decades and even centuries. Like, you see women who are stepping out and actually doing the work, but they're never really recognized as someone who's a professional in their space. And women sound engineers only make up for 5% of the podcasting space as well. So 95% of that is dominated by men. And I think it's because there isn't enough exposure of the problem. And I wanted to be that person. Oftentimes I battle with this insecurity of I'm too young to be speaking about this. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I'm only one person. But it, when we start the spark of conversation, when we ignite it, it leads to rapid movements of change. It's been hard, but yeah, you need to do it.
Well, given that you are in the public space now with your podcasting and honestly considering you to be somewhat of an expert in your field, not just in podcasting, but also as you're pursuing a career in mental health, talk to us a little bit about your thoughts in the uprise, I guess, especially since COVID-19 started, but the uprise in crimes against Asian Americans, specifically here in America. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's disheartening. And I also want to encourage anybody that's listening right now who is Asian American to take your time with the healing process. Because it's scary. The things that you read about on the news coverage that's coming out right now on hate crimes, on COVID-19. But it's always been a thing. Like Asian Americans have always been criticized and we've always kept our head down and done the work. And we're called model citizens. Mm. And it's been historically proven that like America has had, especially with Filipinos specifically, we've had very good relations with America. And so we've almost been like pegged as this like perfect model of what an immigrant should be like. And because we're not taught that it's okay to be angry, like I feel like there isn't enough coverage being done right now in the media when it comes to Asian Americans and their mental health. Asian Americans are also the least likely to seek mental clarity and mental wellness because of the types of like stigmas that are brought up against us. And I think that there is this internalizing of problems that happens when you hear, not even like directly, but indirectly, that it's not okay, that like showing people that you're weak isn't a thing. And I think that's why there's so much of a suicide rate. Like Asian Americans have a higher suicide rate than other like demographics. And so the data speaks for itself, you know?
Yeah. So sticking on that same theme there, and I'm going to ask you a question that I heard you iterate in a clubhouse room. How did you overcome depression and your self-harm?
I have to be honest and say that like there have been moments where I've relapsed, especially during like the pandemic. And I think that like I've had my bouts of depression. I've had my bouts of, oh my gosh, do I even feel like there is a healing light at the end of the tunnel? And as a mental health professional, I think it's, as someone who's studying to be a mental health professional, it's really important to admit that to yourself to prevent burnout. It's taken a lot of work, a lot of reading, a lot of therapy, a lot of collective healing, a lot of seeking guidance. I think the number one thing that I've done to overcome depression and to not make that my identity and to not make self-harm my identity is to understand that you need friendship, that you need relationship in order to heal. Because if you're just by yourself, you're ultimately like in the dark suffering. And meditation has also been very helpful. Being able to ground myself and say, okay, how can I take a breath right now? And there are studies that show that with COVID-19, we're so enamored by dopamine because our beta brainwaves are constantly being activated by Zoom, by Snapchat, by Instagram, by Clubhouse, by whatever you want to call it, whatever social media you use. But we never use our alpha brainwaves, like the part of our souls that really need a break. And so meditation has just been really good for me in finding clarity and grounding and practicing that breath work of like breathing in, I know I'm breathing in, breathing out, I know I'm breathing out.
So switching gears a little bit, somewhat related, I guess I could see it relating in a little bit. You mentioned coffee shop and church and God. How has your faith played a role in your creativity, in this case, in the podcasting world? And in many ways in your pursuit of mental health, because I think there's many avenues where you can exercise creativity in your studies, but how has faith played a role in what you do?
Yeah, It's everything. Faith has played a role in everything that I do, specifically because I know that God created me out of purpose. Like, knowing my story, knowing that I went from a tiny like town in Holosolo, like that's where I grew up, and then to have that be overcome by terrorists and to have like the U.S. government grant us citizenship within a few years and me coming here and then sharing a one bedroom apartment with my parents and then to getting to having a podcast master's degree. I know that there's a destiny that I can't explain and that I can't fathom. And it doesn't even have to take great faith. Sometimes it just takes small faith. Knowing that like faith as small as a mustard seed has the power to blossom into something bigger. And every single day, whenever I create an episode or whenever I talk to someone like you who has constantly inspired me, I realize that like, wow, God is really doing something. My faith isn't always great. Like it isn't always perfect, but it's in that honesty that I cultivate deeper relationship, because you don't always go to your wife or your grandma or your mom or your dad and say, everything's fine. Like you have to work through that deep stuff, that resentment that you may have had earlier in the day in order to get through deeper relationship and self-awareness with both parties.
Yeah. And so I know your journey, especially with mental health and in your past, it's an ongoing journey. It's an ongoing healing. But relating it to podcasting, how have you experienced healing through what you do in podcasting? Maybe even godly healing through your conversations with people, or maybe you have an example where you experience God to that capacity where you're like, oh, I was so refreshed by this conversation, or, oh yeah, this journey in podcasting, as hard as it's been, yeah, I've definitely experienced healing both emotionally and mentally. How have you experienced that through your podcasting?
I think it's been a mirror of how I've been holding myself back. Every single time I post a podcast episode, I realize that there are moments where my thinking becomes so dwindled by how I look or how I sound that it's kept me back from building genuine relationship. And I think like it's just made me realize that I can just be myself. I am enough. And it's been a beautiful journey.
No, I love that phrase, which springboard to one of my final questions. You said, I am enough. What advice would you give to the person? And maybe there's a person listening, and maybe I even get specific. There's a woman listening who wants to get into podcasting or even mental health, but is hesitant for whatever reason. What would you say to her? What would you say as a way of encouraging her to push forward?
Ooh, you asked a really heavy question there. That's a good question. That's such a good, okay.
I am a journalist, you know, so I try to.
Just so you know, Helen, I have a background in journalism. So don't be alarmed. For someone who is hesitant to enter into the mental health field or in the podcasting space, I would say that there isn't a point where you're going to be 100% sure of yourself. Mm. You're always going to reach this place of, I don't know. But just do it. Like I started my podcast with my iPhone. I literally pulled out my iPhone at work, mind you, and I just started recording and I posted it. Sometimes you just have to start and you have to do it scared and you also have to do it messy. Like it starts ugly when you first start. And I think that's the number one secret a lot of people don't tell you. It's that a lot of the greats out there, they sucked. Like they really, yeah. Beethoven wasn't great when he started playing the piano. Like Steve Jobs knew nothing about calligraphy and app development. He quit college and he just started attending classes and read just to learn typography. And look where Mac computers is now. It's just like you have to believe in yourself and you have to realize that like no one is going to validate you. No one is going to say, Derek, you're the best writer in the world. You should write a book. Like you have to be that cheerleader for yourself. And once you learn that, it like unlocks this unbelievable potential. It doesn't take the belief of 100. It takes the belief of one. And that one is you.
Yeah, that's so good. Thank you so much for sharing. Hey, before we let you go, so those who've been listening to the podcast really look forward to when we have them on as guests and know is about to happen. But we have this thing called lightning round where we like to close out our show. You down to play?
Yeah.
All right. So how it works, I'm going to give you, I think I have 10 or 11 choices, and I'm going to spit out these choices, and you just got to choose one or the other without thinking too much. So it's rapid lightning. Got to go quick.
Oh, let's do it. Okay. Right,
here we go. Yes or no?
No.
Up or down?
Down.
Sure or Rhodes?
Sure.
Mac or PC?
Mac.
Sleep or nap?
Sleep.
Apple or Spotify?
Apple.
Audio or video?
Audio.
Play or record?
Play.
Podtrac P4 or Rodecaster?
Rodecaster.
2019 or 2021?
21.
Disney or Illumination?
Disney.
Boom, there it is, lightning round, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Helen, for playing. Hey, so why don't you shout out your socials? Where can people find you, listen to you, and all that stuff? Why don't you go ahead and lay those out for us?
Yeah, if you are interested in listening to podcasts, you can go to whoyouneeded.com for the podcast. There are links to Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's the Helen Grace. And if you want to follow me on Clubhouse, it's at Helen Garcia. So HELENGRCIA. And that's it.
Well, there you have it, guys. The fabulous Helen Garcia. What an amazing interview we had. Let's dive a little bit deeper. Let's talk about some things that came up in the interview. Chris, let's start with you. What are some things that came up that stood out to you?
Her just talking about the alpha and the beta brainwaves. You know, that was pretty cool because, you know, there's certain people that watch TVs and their brains are kind of like in mush, right? Yeah. But then when you do things like reading, you know, your critical thinking starts working. Mm-hmm. But what we do is we take it even further and we create what people interpret. Hmm. You know, like you write books, you write poems. I think paintings, Kevin's doing voiceovers. And it's kind of like we're capturing their attention now. And that's even, is there anything better than alpha waves?
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like we're operating on a completely different level. And I mean, just being able to do that, that's pretty awesome. And for her to recognize it, kind of see it in a scientific form, it kind of validates my artistic and my spiritual practices. You That's know, cool. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Kevin?
If you could hear the transcript of me listening to this interview, usually with the interview, it's you agree with one thing and then the other thing you may not agree with. I was like, with this interview, it was like, I agree with that. 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 But so basically, I agree with everything that she said. The way that she spoke, it was like everything she said, I jived with. So it was, she's like my shadow. Because she'd say something about, well, that's how I would talk. That's how I would do it. And so it was really refreshing hearing the entire interview because she's just so calm about everything.
Yeah.
She's so calm. And there's something about her voice to where you listen to her and she's not telling you to do something, but by the way that she's talking, you almost want to do it.
Yeah. You know, at such a young age, what not just through our conversation in the interview, but, you know, I've connected with her through Clubhouse and we've been in the same rooms together and stages together on Clubhouse and sharing our wisdom and experiences and podcasting and what have you. And man, she's just filled with a wealth of knowledge. She's pretty intellectual for her age. And she does, like you said, Kevin, she does come across as she has this calming voice. She has this calming way yet upfront way of telling you how it is, right? Speaking the truth in love, right? Anything else? Anything else that stood out in Helen's interview that you guys
want to... the courage, just the overall courage to do the podcast. Yeah. And also, too, it's like great stuff early, you know?
I mean,
Nikes were sold out of a trunk and Apple started in a garage.
That's right.
And, you know, it's like we can't forget that. I mean, look up The Sower by Vincent van Gogh. That's his very first pencil drawing. Mm-hmm. It looks horrible. And he was 37, like in his late 30s.
Well, then maybe there's hope for me to draw like that if it looks horrible.
Exactly, Kevin. And that's why when I look at that thing, I'm like, dude, that looks horrible. Oh, I could do way better than that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like how Da Vinci sometimes, you know, he's like, oh, it's too perfect. You know, some of his cross-hatching drawings. But dude, look at Van Gogh, The Sower.
Yeah.
It's anatomically incorrect. It's horrible pencil strokes, but yet he changed the art world. And it's like, you can too. Yeah. You know, you just got to believe in yourself. The mustard seed, man.
Yes. One thing that I was going to say about the interview is what I loved about Helen is she goes there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a statement of just some people don't talk about the dark things. Don't talk about the dark things you want. And she was like, let's open the door and let's talk about it.
Yeah.
It is so freeing to hear that her say, let's talk about the parts of us that we don't want to talk about. Let's bring it out.
Yeah.
And it takes the stigma out of it. And that's where I can really relate to her, is because all my life I've been dancing around the part about, they always say about comedians that sometimes they can be some of the most depressed people because they're always on, always on, yeah, always happy, but they go, yeah, home lonely.
Yeah.
And I had heard in an interview of Paul Stanley from Kiss, and I don't remember where, but he says, I'm out in front of 40,000 people and I go back lonely to a hotel room.
Yeah.
And talk about the swing in moods, but that's what that is like. But the beautiful thing about Helen is she doesn't pull any punches. But she doesn't say that you're right or you're wrong about how you feel. And that's so freeing too, is because a lot of the people that are dealing with all these things, they've been judged by everybody all the time. So they're really tired of getting judged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you have a place where you can go to, where you can say, and I'll just mean it like this, it's okay to throw up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay to come and just blah.
Yeah.
Throw up all the stuff in there, all of it.
Yeah.
And I'll call you out too by saying, I really appreciate you, Derek, and you, Chris, because you're two people that I can be real with. I can call you, and I've done that, Derek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Messages,
yeah,
and Chris, where, mm-hmm, you have helped me middle of the night where I was teetering on being not very good, and you called me out on it, and you said, I can remember the message you told me was, we need you. Mm-hmm. And this was 2 years ago, but it was a pivotal point. But no one else was listening to me. And it was during, yeah, quarantine. I was going through a mental junk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you were awake and you talked to me and you pulled me out of the water.
There it is, guys. Thank you so much for your insights. Thank you so much for unpacking some heavy stuff. I guess when you have someone on the show who not only hosts a podcast, but is pursuing, yeah, a career in mental health, you got to go there. Yeah. And so thank you guys. Yeah. Thank you, Helen, for jumping on the podcast. And thank you, yeah, guys, for tuning in as you do every single week. It's another great show. And don't forget to rate and review our podcast on Apple Podcasts. Make sure to hit the subscribe or the follow button. I know they're changing things up pretty soon, so hit the subscribe or the follow button on Apple Podcasts when that happens. We'll see you on our Instagram page at breathe.podcast. That's at breathe.podcast. Don't forget our relatively new Facebook group page, the Breathe Podcast group page on Facebook, where we continue we continue these conversations online. And so would you go ahead and give us a like on that page? Don't forget to also check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/Derek Engoy. And until next time, be the light, extend your hand in love, and make peace with someone this upcoming week. Stay blessed, and we will catch you next time.
Peace.